In the weeks leading up to the Oscars, predictions about who will win are usually running full tilt. This year, the guesses are about the show itself. The Academy that produces the awards has announced and walked back from making some big changes. And then there's the host debacle. Well, we've got a couple of dedicated Georgia-based movie junkies here to talk about what to expect from this ceremony, which is ultimately all about this.
And the Oscar goes to...
Gladiator.
Kramer versus Kramer.
The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Crash.
Annie Hall.
The Departed.
Rocky.
Unforgiven.
The French Connection.
Argo.
Titanic. Spotlight.
And the winners, of course, the competition and the should-have-been-a contenders. Kalina Buller is host of GPB's podcast, The Credits. Kalina, great to have you with us.
Wonderful to be here. Good morning.
All right. And we also are welcoming today Arts ATL film and TV and book editor Beth Ward. Hello, Beth.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. It's been some real ups and downs for the big award show this year. First, the ceremony will not have a host this year. Kevin Hart was unchosen, let's say, after some homophobic tweets. Beth, has this ever happened before?
It has, actually. This happened previously in 1989. The Academy decided they were going to try something a little bit different, and they opened with a big musical number instead of a host monologue. And that didn't go very well. Some people thought that that was kind of the end of Alan Carr's career, who was the producer at that time. But I do think that it kind of gives the Academy the opportunity this year to capitalize a little bit on the buzz that they've generated. And maybe offer audiences something new.
Mm. Well, Kalina, the Academy also announced a new popular film category and soon withdrew that idea, then proposed shuffling four awards categories to commercial breaks that didn't go over well with voters. And now all the major awards will be presented during the live show. So what was the pushback like from the Academy?
Well, just long story short, they were very upset about it. You have so many people behind the camera who put their heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears into making a film. And technically, these four categories that they were looking at getting rid of during the live feed, that's something that, you know, we usually don't give popular credence to all the time. So this is something that I think generally, you know, big stars, directors, producers, they were like, no, we need to acknowledge cinematographers. We need to acknowledge that these, you know, live action shorts, we need to, you know, these are the people that honestly make these films happen.
Not that you have any stake in this. As
Not that I
credits.
Have any at all, right? But I think that having a little bit of acknowledgement goes a long way in this business. And I think the Academy was right to put them back in during the live feed.
Well, they also went back and forth on songs performed during the show. At first, it was just going to be Shallow from A Star Is Born, which is nearly a lock, let's say, for best song. Now, almost all the nominated songs will be performed during the show. Beth, what's going on here?
I think that they are just realizing that the best song performances are a really big audience draw, especially for the demographic that they're aiming for, the demographic that dropped, I think, by like 25% during the viewership last year. Also, Lady Gaga, I think, kind of drove that the cause of bringing everybody back on stage. The only reason that Kendrick Lamar isn't going to be there is logistics.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a protest.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it would have been so great to see him, though, wouldn't it?
I know.
All the Stars is an amazing song. I know it's up against Shallow, but All the Stars is a huge contender for an Oscar this year.
Yeah, maybe, Kalina, we should also, both of you, we should have our sort of Georgia meter as well. You
know, right.
Like, yes.
Yeah. These films and nominees apply to Georgia. So, but, you know, you mentioned that, Beth, you know, a lot of missteps this year. And the viewership is tanked. I mean, it was 26 million a couple years, 40 million a couple years ago, 26 million last year. So they're just, is this a desperate grab to get more audience?
I don't know if it's a desperate grab, but I do think it's a very conscious grab. And I think that you can see that in the Best Picture nominees. They've decided to kind of listen to what people, you know, what songs are these people listening to in their cars?
Mm-hmm.
What are the movies that they're spending the money to go see? These are the movies that we need to be celebrating at this podcast or at this telecast if we want people to be watching it.
Right.
And I will also add here that if you continue to acknowledge not just the quote above the line people, just not the people that you know you're going to see, little plug here at the beginning of the credits, I think you'll have a lot more viewership. I know people that work in the industry with me, oftentimes we don't watch the Academy Awards. One, we're working. Mm-hmm. Two, they don't acknowledge the small, often unheard of jobs and technical jobs that make these films happen. And I think that would also increase a little bit of the viewership.
All right. Well, we're going to get to the actual Oscar nominations in a few minutes, but really want to go through the should have been a contenders that we or you out there think deserve nominations but got snubbed. And we would like to hear from you. Who should win, maybe? Who will win? And which films did not get enough attention? You can let us know. We're at the On Second Thought group on Facebook. So make sure you look for group and tweet us at OST Talk, and we will try to integrate your picks as we speak. Kalina, let's start with one of those categories that rarely gets enough attention. Best documentary feature. You, among the many surprised that Won't You Be My Neighbor, Mr. Rogers' film is the other name for it, got snubbed in this category. Why should it have been nominated?
It was everything that I believe a documentary film should be. I mean, it was one, heart-wrenching, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It told an amazing story about an amazing man who had a singular vision. And he wanted to just make the world a better place by letting kids know that it is all right to be themselves. I don't know anybody who has not been impacted by Fred Rogers or his show or
Absolutely.
His advocacy of the arts generally. And for them to snub this film in particular, I was highly shocked.
Yeah. When I left the theater, but there were people just, you know, blubbering.
I was
I'm
bawling.
Ugly
I
crying.
Crying.
The whole thing. And I think it is interesting, too, because when that documentary came out, it was at a very interesting time politically. It was a very hard time
yes.
politically and socially. And it was such a balm for that. And it was also happening at a time when a conversation was happening in the government about funding for public media. And it was such a kind of an unofficial advertisement for the good that can come of programming like, you know, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Absolutely.
It looks like RBG is going to be the likely winner there. I think a good film, but I, you know, how many times can you hear? She's brilliant. She's smart.
Right.
She's wonderful. She's enigmatic. I don't know.
It wasn't better than Won't You Be My Neighbor? I mean, and I love her, but it wasn't better than that film. I was just shocked it wasn't in the category.
All right, we have one note from a listener. Blind Spotting was an incredible moving film telling fantastic story, great writing and performances, and yet crickets. Well, what do you think? We're learning about some of the things that our Georgia film junkies, that's what we're calling you all today, think of the Academy Awards nominations and what really should have been nominated. We're going to keep going with that. And please let us know your thoughts. We're at the OST Talk on Twitter, and you can join our Facebook group. Kalina Buller is with us. She's a host of the Credits podcast. And I also want to let you know we're hosting a live recording of the Credits at GBB on Saturday. That's tomorrow evening from 5:30 until 7. Opening reception at 5:30. And again, panel at 6 and 7. You can look at gpbnews.org for more information. Beth Ward is also with us. She is the Arts ATL editor. What do you think? Let us know who should have been a contender. I'm Virginia Prescott, and we're going to come back right after a short break with more of On Second Thought and the Oscars. From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott, and the Oscars are this Sunday. We're breaking down all the nominations, deserved, maybe less so, with Arts ATL editor Beth Ward and host of the GBB podcast, The Credits, Kalina Buller. All right, so Best Picture, that's the biggie. Beth, I'm going to ask you, what is your, and the nominee should be?
I'm okay with the nominations. I think that Roma is going to take it. But I think an argument could be made, obviously, for The Favorite and also for Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. Roma, you know, it's a foreign language film, black and white, unprecedented, but a lot of buzz and a lot of nominations around this one.
Right, absolutely. I think they get 10, and it's just such a big austere film. And Colleen and I were talking earlier. Mm-hmm. She was watching it because it was distributed on Netflix, mm-hmm. which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so she was watching it at home because obviously it's a streaming.
You can.
So, yeah, because you can. And she made a great point about the fact that maybe it did a disservice to this, not because it was on Netflix, but because you don't get the experience of seeing the visuals of the film in a theater.
Right, the immersive experience.
Right.
That a lot of people probably would have appreciated more if it came out in theaters only or in addition to.
Right.
Well, do you think as many people would have seen it if it had only come out
and
in
that's,
theaters?
That's the key there.
Right.
Because I don't think so.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And this could be a game changer, right? It's something that was simultaneously released in theaters and on Netflix, showing us, you know, really how the industry's changed.
Right. And they're doing that now. And you know, that's fine. I think it, for me, it's between Black Panther and Black Klansman.
Mm-hmm.
Black Klansman was all around an excellent movie. Yeah. But of course, you know, Black Panther is a Georgia baby. So.
Yeah. And Spike Lee could get his, you know, 30 years. He's been in the
that's
business,
right.
Never nominated for Best Director. In
which
none
is
of his
appalling,
pictures.
Yeah. But that's fine. Let's try to give it to him for Best Director this year.
All right. But Beth, you really loved A Quiet Place. This was directed by John Krasinski, stars his wife, Emily Blunt,
right.
Not nominated.
Right.
Why did you love this movie?
I loved it because I have a soft spot for sci-fi and horror films. But I also,
yeah, me too.
But I also loved it because it was such a subtle, it was a subtle kind of terror. It was very disquieting. It was different. It was shot really well, and I just thought that Emily Blunt was fantastic in the film, and I think that maybe there was a Best Actress nod missed there. She won the SAG for that film, which is saying a lot.
What do you think, Helena, Emily Blunt's performance in A Quiet Place? She was also in Mary Poppins this
year.
She
sure was. I mean, Emily Blunt is a force to be working with. And, I mean, no disrespect to her husband, John Krasinski. I mean, Emily is out here, isn't she?
No doubt.
And I really think that the Academy tends to overlook horror generally for whatever
Always.
Reason. And I don't understand it. There are some horror films that are exceptionally done, and A Quiet Place is just one of them.
Right. I mean, Psycho did, and I think Silence of the Lambs was a big horror Oscar. But
right. But generally, I mean, there's so many more that mm-hmm. could at least have been nominated over the years.
Right.
And A Quiet Place is one of those that I feel could have gotten a lot more buzz this time around, but
right.
it didn't, sadly.
I honestly thought Sorry to Bother You should have been nominated.
That was very strange
Not
movie.
Necessarily that it would. Well, I thought it was great performances by Lakeith Stanfield, who has
That's
some
true.
Georgia cred.
That's right.
Has been in episodes of Atlanta. And he's a man who sells his soul to make money, big money, as a telemarketer. Let's hear a little clip.
I'm sorry about your uncle, man, but that don't mean sell out.
I'm not selling y'all out. My success has nothing to do with you, all right? You just keep doing whatever it is that you're doing, and I'll root for you from the sidelines.
I mean, it was a bizarre film, very surreal,
yep.
totally unpredictable. But I thought, you know, that showing the bargain with the devil and the things that we choose to ignore, it had media in it, it had activism, it had healthcare.
Yes. Hello.
Don't often get that in a big movie.
Right.
Barry Jenkins followed up his Oscar-winning film Moonlight with If Beale Street Could Talk, which was a really faithful and I thought beautiful, personally, adaptation of James Baldwin's novel, not nominated for Best Director or Best Film, but I think deserving of both awards. Let's hear just a little from that.
Not too much for Tish.
What's going on?
It's a sacrament. And no, I ain't lost my mind. We are drinking to new life. Tish gonna have Fonny's baby.
That's the Best Actress, supporting actress rather, nominee Regina King from the film. Beth, why do you think it missed out on the big nominations?
I mean, it's just another example of, I think, Academy oversight, because Barry Jenkins did such a great job translating the language of James Baldwin, which
yes.
is, I mean, his language is so lush and descriptive, and I was listening to an interview with Barry Jenkins where he said he wanted to bring that to the screen intact, and I think that he did such
yeah.
an incredible job, and it is an incredible oversight.
Yeah, it absolutely is, but I think Regina King mm-hmm. may walk away
yeah.
with with the statue.
Right. Yep, I think Brian Tyree Henry in that movie should have gotten a nomination, quite honestly. I thought he was terrific.
Yeah, he was. But Regina, I think she's going to do it for us.
She's going to take it. Regina's going to do it. Bradley Cooper nominated for Best Actor, Adapted Screenplay, and Best Picture as producer, but not as a director for his directorial debut for A Star is Born. Let's hear just a clip from that.
Why did you come back here?
Your friend brought me back here. I'm glad he did. Can I buy you a drink?
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, if you want to wait, I'll come have a drink with you.
Bradley Cooper, many octaves down for that film. Now, this looked like an early favorite. Everybody was gushing about this. Beth, why do you think it flamed out?
I think that I wasn't a huge fan of the film, personally.
Okay.
Beth's eyes.
I think that it was a bit of a vanity project for Bradley Cooper, and as you had mentioned, I don't think that he was a great salesman for the film because he's so, I don't want to give interviews about this, I don't want to talk about this, I'm a deep, serious, artistic artist.
She's rolling her eyes.
She's really...
I had some problems with the film.
Kalina, how about you?
It was cool.
Wow.
It was cool. I mean,
faint
listen.
Praise.
I love Mother Monster, okay? I am a little monster, so Lady Gaga was everything in the film. But Bradley Cooper, you know.
Okay, well, he's not getting any love from the Academy, and he has not.
It's okay,
and
he has
clearly
time.
Not getting any from you, okay.
Yeah, he has time.
Right.
All right, so no. Does he have any chance, or Lady Gaga have any chance of winning the big acting prizes on Sunday, you think?
I think that Lady Gaga's performance was Oscar worthy, and I think it's unfortunate that she had to give it in the film that she gave it in.
Hmm.
Well, that's a good point, yeah.
You know, I think she did an incredible job in the role that she played. But it is, you know, this is the fourth version of this film that's come out, and if you're just comparing it to the other three, I don't know if it was the most successful one, honestly.
She may come away with the award of the night for Best Actress, but I mean, like you said, it's Mother Monster, I love you. So that's all I'm gonna say.
let's move on to Green Book. Kalina nominated for Best Picture, mm-hmm. not overshadowed by a controversy. It did win a Golden Globe for Best Picture. This is Viggo Mortensen said the N-word during a press junket. A producer's racist tweet was dug up. And the family of Don Shirley, who Mahershala Ali actually portrays in the film, denounced it as inaccurate. So does it deserve a nomination?
I think it was done pretty well for, its adaptation. I'm sorry, for the original screenplay. I think it's going to be a really, really good contender for that. I think that... Mahershala did a great job in his role. Mm-hmm. I think he may walk away with the award of the night. Honestly, there's so much history to the Green Book itself.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, it was a guide for Black people during Jim Crow era, because there were places that we just could not go. It was dangerous for us, for people like me, to go to certain places, to eat at certain places, to stay overnight at certain hotels we couldn't do. So the Green Book was necessary. And I think because of its history, people are very guarded by the stories that we tell around something like this. They want to make sure it's historically as accurate as possible. And in today's time with social media and people being able to react on a dime, I think that they overlooked the artistic merit in favor of making sure that everything was just right there on time, historically accurate. And yes, I understand why, but if we're seeing anything, we're seeing that there was merit to this film,
mm-hmm.
and there people did enjoy the film generally. And I think the Academy and Hollywood generally is continuing to learn lessons about how to thoughtfully and carefully roll out stories that deal with, you know, our racist past in this country. So, I think that we're, you know, the movie's going to be all right. And overall, the movie's going to survive, you know, the backlash.
That's Kalina Buller. She's host of the Credits Podcast. Also with us, Arts ATL editor Beth Ward. We're talking about the Oscars this Sunday. You know, what's going to win? What should win? What should have even been nominated? Question here from Twitter. How do your experts know that, I'm sorry, Roma has been playing and is still playing in theaters in Atlanta at the Midtown Landmark and I think Sandy Springs Theater in Sandy Springs. This is from Brad on Twitter. Yeah, well, it has been playing for some time. But as we said, it rolled out simultaneously with being on Netflix. All right, so let's move on to Beth, the best actress category. Beth, the favorite. Three strong performances from Olivia Colman. She's nominated for Best Actress. Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz, both nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Period piece by the rather eccentric Greek director Yorgos Lanthimos, focusing on this power triangle between the three of them. So this is nowhere on the Georgia scale. Right. Not filmed here. But both Weisz and Emma Stone nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Apart from this, a real varied crop of performances by women. Melissa McCarthy playing against type in Can You Ever Forgive Me? Regina King in Beale Street, you mentioned. Lady Gaga, Yalitza Aparici. Beth, what are we seeing in these performances by women?
I think what we're seeing more of and that I really love is this exploration and celebration of women over the age of 40 and the complexities and beauties of that part of a woman's life. Even in such a fantastical film as The Favorite, you're getting really just an incredible performance by Olivia Colman. And Glenn Close as the wife blew me away.
Yeah, that is the favorite to win, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're looking at the wife as the real favorite here. Do you think it's, you know, Glenn Close, it's her time? What's going on here? Was it an Oscar-worthy performance?
I absolutely think it was. I think it was so subtle and I mean, I think her rage and the way that was explored over time, over the course of the film, was annihilating. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a beautiful performance.
Well, Melissa McCarthy in Can You Ever Forgive Me, nominated for Best Actress. Now, she's also nominated for a Razzie Award. Do you guys know the Razzies, the sort of anti-Oscars for the worst performance for The Happy Time Murders and Life of the Party? So, any effect on Academy voters that she was also in some of the worst movies of this year?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. No. I think adaptations of, or not adaptations, but, you know, based on true story things tend to get the Academy's attention. And ones where actors really physically transform themselves, I think the Academy really, really latches on to those kinds of things.
Which brings us to Rami Malek with the prosthetic teeth playing Freddie Mercury. Now, all right, so question here. If I had said to you, Bohemian Rhapsody is going to be leading in the Oscar race back in October. Would you believe me?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys both love the movie?
I think it was just one of those epic Hollywood stories.
Yeah, just because of the band Queen and because of Freddie Mercury himself. We love that story, those stories of that band and that person. So we were absolutely going to go and, you know, pay attention to this film.
Totally. I mean, I had a misplaced massive crush on Freddie Mercury when I was a teenager. But the thing is that the question here is about this sort of super popular film. So this film did not have, you know, a bunch of people campaigning to make it to the Oscars. It was a popular choice.
Right.
It rose through the ranks that way. Mm-hmm. So, and we have films like somebody mentioned here, absolutely adored, Crazy Rich Asians, A Simple Favor.
Another excellent movie.
But not, they were big crowd pleasers. Black Panther made a ton of money. Now, that does have some Academy Award nominations. But do you think there's something to this idea of separating the popular films from the kind of art house films?
The argument out of the Academy is, and some of the people in the ranks of the Academy, a voting Academy body, is that you want to have a, quote, not just an artistic standard, but a technical standard to the films that are nominated for Academy Awards, right? And if you just go off of what's, quote, popular, you're going to push out a lot of the more, a lot of the more intricate films that are really, really making strides technically, technologically, and artistically, and things like that. And you're not going to give those films as fair a shake. Mm-hmm. I know they tried to add this category this year, they took it away, like most popular. I think also they tried to add it without really giving it enough time to go through the governing body at the Academy to make sure that this is something that they absolutely want to do. But I honestly don't think that it is wise for the Academy to discount wider audiences like
right,
that.
Right, right. Look at the box office for Black Panther, the movie of 2018, mm-hmm. but didn't get a nomination for Best Director for Ryan Coogler.
That's right.
Why do you think he deserved to be on the list, Kalina?
It was top to bottom just well done. Yes, it was a superhero movie. Yes, it came out of the Marvel Universe, and it's not something that we would consider usually Academy worthy, but it absolutely was. The production design, flawless. Costumes, flawless. Original score, original song, amazing.
Super high on Georgia Factor.
Absolutely. Hello.
All right. This is, I guess, the wrap question. We've got a minute left. Do Oscars matter anymore? You know, The Shape of Water won Best Picture last year. Three billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri also took home some top prizes, but they haven't stuck around. What's the shelf life of these kind of smaller, more personal films once they get an Oscar nod?
I think there's always going to be some cultural capital attached to winning an Oscar. And I think that, you know, there's a reason that Netflix wants one. There's a reason that Amazon Prime wants one, because mm-hmm. it lends a certain level of credibility. It gives you a little bit. I mean, it changed Gwyneth Paltrow's life.
Now we have Goop.
But I think that to some degree, it will always matter. But I think that if the divide between popular films and artistic films continues to get bigger, then I don't know if it will continue to matter like it does.
And culturally, yes, it has a lot of clout. But at the same time, it also advocates for arts education, right? Mm-hmm. And the more people yeah. are paying attention to the live feed and they're listening to and watching the broadcast, the better we're going to be as an artistic industry.
Kalina, you're getting played off like happens at the Oscars.
I want to thank the Academy.
Kalina Buller, she's host of The Credits. We're doing a live recording of The Credits on Saturday. That's tomorrow night, 5:30 to 7. Look at gpbnews.org. Thanks to you and to Beth Ward from Arts ATL.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.